There was a name you are familiar with, a lady with the name of Ruth. She was originally from Moab. And of course, Moab today would be Jordan or West Iraq. The story goes that Naomi went with her husband and her two children, her two sons, to Moab, leaving Judah because there was a famine. And so they lived there in Moab, and then both the husband died and the two sons died. And so she decided to go back to Judah because the famine had ended in Judah. And so she went back, and her two daughters-in-law were accompanying her. And she tried to persuade the two daughters-in-law not to come with her, but to go back and stay in Moab. And the one daughter-in-law decided to stay back, but the other one, Ruth, decided to go with Naomi to Judah. And she said, "No, your country is my country, your land is my land, and your God is my God." And so she left together with Naomi, and they went to Judah. Now, when they arrived in Judah, there was no huge wall preventing her entrance. There was no security guards and other personnel trying to figure out who she was. There was no travel ban saying, "You can't come in because you are coming from a country called Iraq." No, she went together with Naomi and entering Judah. And then she started to look for some work. And she ended up on fields gleaning some harvest because it was around the time of the spring harvest, and that's why the book of Ruth is normally read by the Jewish community around Pentecost. And of course, she was able to glean some harvests, picking it up behind the reapers because there was a law in force and effect at the time. And I just want to read it to you, saying that Ruth makes use of the stipulations the Lord gave to Moses. God had told the Israelites not to completely harvest their fields. Instead, they were to leave some unharvested so that the poor and the strangers in the land could gather it up for their survival. And so Ruth ended up, still a young woman, on a field which was possessed by an older man with the name of Boaz. And Boaz noticed her to be a stranger, so he made some inquiries. And first of all, he allowed her to stay on the field and told the reapers to even let some extra grain there for her to be able to pick it up. And then he found out that she was the daughter-in-law to Naomi. And it just so, quote-unquote, happened that Boaz was a distant relative of Naomi and her husband. And as the story goes, he ultimately, as you all know, married her. An older man marrying a younger woman from Moab. Now, the interesting thing is that there was a law in force and effect, which was written in Deuteronomy chapter 23, to the effect that no Moabite, up until the 10th generation, was allowed to marry an Israelite. Now, commentaries point out, like the Ryrie Study Bible, that this is the masculine form, and that the idea is that no masculine man of the Moabites was allowed to, you know, marry a female Israelite, but not the other way around. And so the thought is that a female proselyte like Ruth could marry an Israelite. Another explanation is that she was already in the 11th generation when she had come from Moab, and so therefore that marriage between Boaz and Ruth was possible, acceptable. You probably know the genealogies, don't you? Boaz and Ruth begat Obed, who was the father of Jesse. who was the father of David. David, the seventh son of Jesse. And David begat Solomon. And so finally, through Solomon, Joseph was a descendant. And that is described in Matthew chapter 1. But also, Mary was also a descendant of David through his son Nathan. And that is described in Luke chapter 3. Before I go on, I like to turn back the story a little bit and go to another interesting personality, the prostitute or harlot Rahab from Jericho. Now, you know that story. Rahab, of course, helped the spies to escape, and ultimately she ended up in Israel. Now, commentaries again say that Rahab was not part of the seven nations of Canaan. In other words, those seven nations, they were not allowed, or the people of those seven nations were not allowed to marry the Israelites. But when it came to Rahab, she was not part of those seven nations. So we are told that Rahab ultimately married Salmon, or Salma, who was a son of Nahshon, who was a leader of Judah. So Rahab married that son of this prominent leader of Judah. And then, according to Matthew, Boaz, who married Ruth, was an offspring of that relationship. Now, apparently, Matthew skipped a few, so there were some missing links there, because it wasn't his purpose to write everybody down. But the ultimate point is this. The ultimate point is that through the marriage of Rahab and Salma or Salmon, Boaz came into being, who then married Ruth, who then ultimately produced David, who then ultimately produced both Mary and Joseph. Now, Nahshon, Salmon, Rahab, and Boaz are all mentioned by name in the book of Matthew. Now, Luke doesn't mention Rahab and Ruth, but he does mention, of course, the rest. And so by implication, as he mentions Nahshon and Salmon and Boaz, he also, by implication, mentions Ruth and Rahab. So the point I'm trying to get at is this. Even Rahab didn't have to face immigration problems. It wasn't like, oh, you can't come to Israel because you are belonging to some of these people who had been living in the promised land in Canaan, so you're not allowed to come in. None of that. So what this means is, because I entitled the sermonette, If Ruth Had Lived Today, under current immigration laws, I'm not talking about just the United States, I'm talking about the same kind of laws in Canada, in Australia, in Germany, in Austria, all over pretty much the world. With those kind of restrictions as they are in place today, there would not have been a marriage between Ruth and Boaz. There would not have been a marriage between Salmon and Rahab, at least not a legal one. Now, maybe Ruth would have been able to come in here illegally, having the dream that this country, the country she would come to, would be open for dreamers, and she was a dreamer, looking for a better land where there was no more famine. But she would have come here illegally. Now, under present discussions, she would have had to be deported. There would not have been a David. There would not have been a Joseph. There would not have been a Mary. And you know what? There would not have been Jesus Christ coming from the lineage of David. I'm pointing this out to caution all of us to be very careful when we take sides, specifically for the current immigration discussions. And I don't care what country we are living in, They have debates over there in Germany as we speak, trying to put together a grand coalition, and the one party is against what the other party wants to do, very similar to what's happening here in this country. We in the church are not supposed to be taking any political stance, but what we are supposed to be taking is having a godly attitude towards the whole situation. How can anyone suggest that people who have been living in a country all their life now have to been deported because they came in here with their parents who came in here, let's say, illegally, and they were 3 or 4 years old when they came? By the same token, how can you justify that somebody is being deported from a country which he has been living in for I don't know how many years, back to a country where he might have been born in, but he didn't know anything about that country, has never lived there really, only because he was accused and charged with some violation of the law? How can anybody justify that, specifically if that person is, let's say, 90 plus years old? These are the kind of inhumane concepts. That is why a blatant general travel ban for a person who just belongs to one particular country is so ungodly. Think in terms of what happened in World War II. Think in terms of the Jews who wanted to come, in this case, to the United States of America, to Great Britain, to Sweden, to other places, escaping Germany, escaping Italy, escaping Poland, Hungary, all these places where there were clearly persecution of the Jewish community. And they were turned down. In many cases, they were not allowed to come in. In many cases, they died in concentration camps because of that. Now, when I heard these stories, I felt extremely unhappy, to put it mildly. But how much is it different today when you have people who are escaping a civil war situation, who are running for their lives, who you know if they stay where they are would be killed, no question about it, and you still turn your borders down? You know, you can't come in. I don't care what country it is. Think in terms of there would have been no marriage between Boaz and Ruth. There would have been no marriage between Rahab and Solomon. There would have been no Joseph. There would have been no David. There would have been no Mary. There would have been no Jesus Christ. You would still live and die in your sins. Let's keep that in mind. In conclusion, I'd like to give you a brief story about my own life. And you know this, perhaps. See, my mother, when she was very old and not healthy, we tried to get her over here to the United States so that she could live the rest of her life here in this country. Now, the way it turned out, she wasn't even able to come to San Diego. She died on the plane, as you know, from Denver to San Diego. But when we arrived in Denver, she was told, now you can only stay here for 3 months, and then you have to go back to Germany. Well, I didn't say anything. By no stretch of the imagination would I have sent her back after 3 months, going to go back to Germany to die there. No way would I have done that. Would I have broken this law? Absolutely, I would have. Absolutely. No, that's not even an issue. Now, we never got to that point. But you see, what I want to say is God tells us you have to obey God rather than man. And we're not just talking about written rules here. You know, when Peter was told by the Sanhedrin, you must not speak in the name of Christ, and Peter had been given the commission by Christ to speak in the name of Christ, that is a context where he said, no, you have to obey God rather than man. There weren't written rules either way. But we were looking at the spirit of the law. And the spirit of the law is clearly commanding us to place human life over whatever rule there might be. Whatever rule there might be. And that is what I want to leave you with. Let's be very careful when we take these strong, harsh positions And let's put yourself in the position of somebody who might be a dreamer, who might be someone who has overstayed because he came in here as a visitor and he overstayed. And you think in terms of, well, what if I would be that person? Some say, oh, well, you know, they can come in legally. No, they cannot come in legally. That's the whole point. There is no basis on which most of these people can come in here legally. They wouldn't be allowed to. That's what people seem to be forgetting. So I'm sometimes hearing these comments like, oh, well, you know, they should all go back to their country. Well, of course, they're going to die there. We know that. We should be knowing that. So let's be careful as Christians, as members of the Church of God, that we are not taking positions which are not pleasing in the eyes of God.